Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are God. And we thank you so much for this wonderful anointing here and at every ABC location. Thank you, Lord. What a way to start off School of Prosperity, Semester 1, Module 2. And of course, a good place to begin a beginning is at the beginning. So the beginning of prosperity is, what is prosperity? And so we jump right into that. Overview. Prosperity is the ability to overcome every challenge of life. God has given you, God has given me, everything we need for life and godliness to be successful today, to prosper today, to have everything we need today and every single day. That we take no thought of tomorrow, for when we get there, God has already provided for us everything we need for success. That's prosperity on a day-by-day basis. Prosperity is the ability to overcome every challenge of life, every challenge of life, every single day, by releasing the power of God to change the circumstances into whatever you desire. How do you lose the power of God? Because we are covenant partners with God. We have a covenant with God based on Jesus shedding his blood to create the covenant of the New Testament. The New Covenant, the New Testament. Sealed not in the blood of animals, but sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. In the world, people do similar things. For example, Native Americans have a custom, a tradition, where they become blood brothers by cutting their wrists and intermingling the blood. That's a blood covenant. We have a blood covenant with God through the shedding of the blood of His Son. And that blood washed us clean. And He took all our sins in His body on the cross, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. That our part of the covenant is to present our bodies. Jesus presented the blood, and we present the bodies as a living sacrifice. And we can do that because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We present our body as a living sacrifice, and the primary aspect of that living sacrifice is to take the righteousness of God which is in you as a free gift of God, 2 Corinthians 5:21, and work that righteousness out into your members as holiness. That not only is your spirit righteous and God lives in your spirit, but your entire being becomes holy and God can dwell in every part of you. Now that's prosperity. That's how we partner with God. That's how we release the power of God. As we move towards that, one step at a time, one step at a time, everything you need for life and godliness has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you speak it into existence. You declare what the Bible says about your needs, about your desires, about your possessions, about your inheritance in Christ Jesus. You declare it. So that's how we release the power of God at a high level, by partnering with Him through the blood covenant sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And by keeping all part of that partnership, by always presenting our bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable for God. We are, after all, holy temples of a holy God. And God expects that there be in our temples, in His temple, nothing that shouldn't be in the temple of God. That His temple should not be polluted, inhabited with evil things, but that His temple should be holy and that He can partner with the temple. So, prosperity is the ability for you and me to overcome every challenge on a daily basis by releasing the power of God to change the circumstances into whatever you desire. Today, the shuttle, I guess it's not really a shuttle, a spacecraft, came back from the International Space Station. And they're coming back to land in the Gulf of Mexico. No astronaut has landed in the water since 1975. So they'll be the first ones to do that in a long time. And no astronaut has ever come back on a private commercial rocket ship. And so all this money had gone into sending them up there very successfully, and now they're bringing them back home. And I heard in the news that they had only 48 hours of oxygen left, and they could not redock. Once they separate, they can't redock. The only option was to land, but because of the storms and potential hurricanes and the weather, they were highly concerned if they could land in the Gulf at the specified time because of the weather. So here they are with all this secular power and all this money, and they could not guarantee a weather situation for landing that was acceptable. Well, for you and me, that's no big deal. So they landed already. I have not heard the news, but by faith, I believe they landed, because it was very simple. We just tell the weather to change so they had good weather to land. That's prosperity. We did that. Mm-hmm. I haven't had time to check the news. I don't need to check the news. I believe they landed perfectly. It reminds me let me put a little footnote here, okay? Right now, probably 90% or 99% of all the people who are participating at this moment by internet are ABCers who have known me for quite a while, who've gone through some of the schools, maybe all the schools. But you're not the primary target audience. We're recording it for people in the future, people coming into ABC, people who need to be exposed to what God has given us here. So I may say some things which you've heard before. I'm not saying it to pat myself on the back. I'm saying it for those who are coming in the future who have never heard it. So what I felt led to go into after that story about the spacecraft landing was when my wife and I went to the Far East, and primarily to Manila in the Philippines as guest speaker at a conference, International Christian Conference. And the whole trip was truly amazing. We came in right as the typhoon had left, okay, and we never even knew that. We just thought, boy, how come the streets are so dirty? So the next trip there, we were there again to speak. And while we were there, a super typhoon, the highest level typhoon, was scheduled to hit Manila head on the day that we were supposed to be speaking. Same day, same time. And the ABCers back home had started praying for us that they would be protected from the typhoon, was very major typhoon. And so some called up an evangelist named Joe, wonderful man of God, powerful ministries, talking about prosperity. He did a lot of really wonderful things in the area of healing. His primary ministry was in the area of healing. Blind eyes, one of the ones that I love was later came up with cancer, and he laid hands on her. Cancer is gone. You're healed from cancer in Jesus' name. Cancer was gone. We said, go to the doctor and check it. And he says, you're going to get pregnant with a boy. And when I come back 1 year from now, you're going to have the baby, and the boy is going to grow up to be a preacher. 1 year later, came back, came to pass exactly as he said. I love that story. It has some wonderful stories. I could talk about him for a long time. Story I want to tell about him is not about him, it's about me. My favorite topic. No, but we were there, and so they called up Joe and a bunch of people, and they were all asking him to pray for Pastor Joshua. And Joe laughed. Joe said, if Pastor Joshua is in Manila, no typhoon is going to hit Manila. No typhoon is going to hit Manila. But since you asked, I will pray. So he prayed, and of course, no typhoon hit Manila. The news services, and I quote them, the news services, after a period of not saying anything, came out and says, we don't exactly know what happened, but it was like, I'm quoting this exactly, it was like a giant hand came down from heaven and knocked a typhoon sideways. That was their official description. A giant hand came down from heaven and knocked a typhoon sideways. No, that is prosperity. That is prosperity. I remember when Joe made his first trip to Africa, and he came to me about the finances, what to do. And I said, Joe, do what you always do. You find a good place and sow your offering, and you believe back for what you want. And so he sowed right here. And then he went to a church to preach, and the offering was kind of sparse, but when they were leaving, somebody came over and gave him $1,000. He took the $1,000 and plunked it into his home church, and money just started rolling in. And he had, and I don't believe there's anybody else who's ever done this in the history of the world. He had a budget. He had met his budget before he left. 1.5 times before he left, if I remember correctly. And when he went over there, a very large church took up an offering for him. And that equaled his budget. So he had 2.5 times his budget. For a church overseas, this was in Africa, but for a church overseas anywhere, almost anywhere, to take up an offering that's sizable is unheard of. Much less to meet his budget. By the time he came back, he had 2.5 times his budget. And while he was here, he got another check from a church from Africa that was equal to half the budget. He had 3 times his budget. I would say that's prosperity. How did he do it? By having his heart fixed up on God, by going where God wanted him to go. Jesse Duplantis says, you don't do something and ask God to bless it. You find out what is God blessing, and then you do that. Well, God was blessing that trip. So he went. But not only did he go, he went and financed it the Bible way. Give and you should receive. Give and you should receive. So that is what prosperity is all about as an introduction. I quoted in what I just said a little bit, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Please write this down. It's not on the notes, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Trust the Lord with all your heart. To do that, you have to do the second part. Lean not unto your own understanding. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge God in all your ways, and he'll direct your path. Let me tell you that I'm standing here today teaching the second module of the School of Prosperity, which I expect to be enormously wonderful. Talking to you all, having a church with people like you in it. I mean, how blessed can I be? My wife and I love each and every one of you. One of the biggest regrets we have over the last few months is we've been so challenged with full schedules that we haven't had time to spend time with you the way we'd like, if not in person because of the pandemic, but certainly on the phone. There are people I've been trying to call for a long time and haven't got around to it. I think about you all, probably everybody in the church, daily. We certainly pray for you daily. Sometimes, many times daily. You're in our hearts and you're in our heart, minds, and we love you. And you are a precious gift to my wife and I. You have given us a church body that's wonderful and exemplary, and I wouldn't trade this church body for any church body in the world. Nor would I change my lifestyle for any other lifestyle. And how did that happen? Actually, because of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. No, the principles of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 are throughout the New Testament in New Testament terms and with a New Testament leaning, which are really much more powerful, at least superficially when you look at it. But if you look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, not as an Old Testament scripture, but as a description of how we should be living in the New Testament, that's pretty, pretty powerful. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Mark 11:22 starts off, have faith in God. Exactly the same thing. Right before Jesus tells you, you have what you say. Right before he gives us the prayer of faith. Have faith in God. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Let your mind be renewed by the word of God. Be not conformed to the world. Romans 12:2. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind through the word of God. Lean not to your own understanding. Be led by the Lord, by the heart. Be led by the voice of the Lord in your heart. Be led by the word of God in your heart. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons, the adults of God. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Be led by the Spirit of God. Check with him. And he'll guide your path. He'll show you his way. He'll teach you his ways. I remember a long, long, long time ago, many decades ago, before I was saved, I was offered $2 million to do something. The work would have taken me about a half a day. For that, I would have gotten $2 million. It was slightly unethical. And not something I really wanted to do. On the one hand, it was $2 million. On the other hand, was doing something which I thought immoral and unethical, which, by the way, I wasn't saved. That said something about me. I turned it down. I never dreamt when I turned on that $2 million that would move me on a path to where I got born again. And now today, I don't have that $2 million, but today I'm a king. I'm a king. Jesus has made me a king and a priest unto God, his Father. Jesus has made you a king and a priest unto God. Many years later, after I was saved, you know, I went to college. This, after all, is talking about prosperity. And in the world, one of the ways people proceed, many people proceed towards a better lifestyle is going to college. Many people do. And so I went to a very fine college. And I got master's degrees, business and computers, And the dream, the fantasy that one day I could be the CIO, Chief Information Officer, for a Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 company. Not necessarily a famous company, just a big company. But it was like a pipe dream. Well, after I got saved, I started living Proverbs 3, 5, 6 without realizing it. God said, close down your business. Small business. I closed it down. He said, take all your collections of alcohol and other things and dump them. And I did all this without understanding. Then he said, take all of your books, all your textbooks, all your novels, every single book. Notice he didn't say except the Bible, because I had just gotten a Bible. The Bible was a new addition to my life. Never had a Bible before I got saved. Hadn't been saved that long. Take everything else and dump it in the trash. That was one of the hardest things I ever did in my life. Dump it in the trash. Books from four disciplines in which I have degrees, plus all the associated. You know, I could have gone to school forever. I loved it. I just loved learning. And I turned my back on the whole thing. So there went my dream to be a CIO of a famous company. But I kept following God. You know what happened? He brought me back into the corporate world, brought me into a movie studio, famous movie studio, one of the most famous names, and then they offered me the position of CIO. I mean, how all this came to pass is a whole collection of miracles over a long time, maybe over a 20-year period. But I was offered the position of CIO for a very famous Fortune 500 company, Fortune 1000. Never exactly checked it. Sound wonderful. But I know it wasn't for me. God said no. So I turned it down, not knowing what was going to happen next. What happened next was the formation of ABC. The beginning of ABC. ABC was founded, started having our first locations, our first churches, if you will, in 1996. Late 1996. And today, my wife and I have a life that is better than we have ever imagined. So many times have we said that? We believe that so fully in our hearts. That is prosperity. And the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Along the way, through the paths of ABC, many times we've had to turn down offers of a lot of money to stick with what God has given us. God has given us ABC. And God has made us kings. And God has had us understand Deuteronomy 8:18. For it is He, God, who has given you and I the power to get wealth, which can be flipped backwards and said, He has given us the wealth to get power. Kings have both wealth and power. We are kings, and in this school of prosperity, we focus on the kingship, not the priesthood. We are kings and priests. And God wants us to live like kings and priests, understanding that we have the spiritual power and that He wants the wealth of the sinner to come into the church. He wants us to walk in the wealth and riches that his promise will be in the house of the righteous. And you and I are righteous. And that's what this semester is about. But along the way, we realize that the really true riches and the really true power is not really in this lifetime. It starts when Jesus returns for the millennial kingdom. But we are supposed to prepare for that now by living as kings and priests now, under the age of grace, bringing into us the wealth that God has promised us, bringing into us the ability to use the power he's given us and to manifest in our lives the wealth he's given us under this age of grace in a very short time to prepare for the things that are coming ahead. Joseph had a ministry that we call the Joseph ministry. I'm not quite sure why. Maybe it's because he was Joseph. But that ministry was preparing his boss, Egypt, for the years of drought, the hard times. We got hard times ahead. And God wants us to be prepared. And God wants you to know that everyone who's a king and a priest, part of that is being a Joseph ministry. For all of you have circles of family and friends and loved ones and spheres of influence. And God wants you and me to be the Joseph of those spheres of influence. Not only do we create acts of anointing that saved people, as Noah saved people with his wooden ark, we use arks of anointing to protect, help, and save people. To have as many people going through these tremendous, tumultuous times that have started in 2020 with the pandemic and all the other things that are up on the earth. And prosperity is for you and I to flow through all this with the ark of anointing and bringing along people with us. That's what God wants. That's what this school is about. So, let's get back down to a more mundane, basic stage. Definition. The worldly definition of prosperity is, and you all know this, having lots of money. Nothing wrong with that. Being a multimillionaire. Pretty soon they're going to move that up to being a billionaire. Being able to afford whatever you want. That's actually a nice definition. Whatever you want, you can afford it. Not having to work. Yeah. See that one doesn't do too much for me, not having to work. I can't conceive of that working. We're created to work as unto the Lord. So, anyway, not having to work for a corporation. Okay, I'm all for that. I'm all for that. Webster's Dictionary defines prosperity to be the condition of being successful or thriving. Being successful or thriving. I was speaking recently to Darren, who is one of our streamers from the East Coast, and he was saying, you know, being alive and remain, you know, really a good way of looking at it is being alive and thrive. Absolutely. We are to be alive and we are to thrive. Be alive and thrive. And if we remain true to the gospel of Jesus Christ, even in these ending days, we will thrive. And that's what the School of Prosperity is all about. Economic well-being. Webster defines to prosper as to succeed in an enterprise or activity. Well, that's a pretty good definition. Whatever God has given you, God wants you to prosper in it. Whatever you do, God wants it to prosper. To achieve economic success, that's pretty godly. It's very godly. God wants there to be wealth and riches in the homes of the righteous. To become strong and flourishing, that's also godly. So, the definitions are very godly, but not as specific as God would like it. So, God's definition. God wants us to prosper internally. Now, an expression that I heard, Evangelist Deborah, the great theologian, said to me, here's a good definition of prosperity. Occupy till I come. And I think that's wonderful. Occupy till I come. That's what you and I are supposed to do. We are ambassadors of heaven. We are the standing army left behind to keep the peace, to maintain order over a defeated enemy. The defeated enemy, of course, is Satan and all his minions. We are to maintain the peace over them. We are to police them. We are to ensure they don't disrupt our lives, lives of our families, and frankly, the nations, and even the world. So, of course, there's much we are called to do. The day will come, of course, when every knee will bow to the name of Jesus, and Satan and all the demons, devils, and evil spirit will have been dealt with. And then things will be a lot easier, I believe, certainly a lot more exciting, and a lot more godly, a lot more righteous. So we should prosper internally, that is, inside ourselves. Prosper in all you do, prosper wherever you go. So some of the meanings of this word, prosper, that means internal prosperity. It's pronounced the Hebrew word, strong 7919, strong 7919 is pronounced sakal, sakal. No. You know, I'm the least of anybody who would ever be called a Hebrew scholar. So that's the way it sounds like it sounds, sakal. So it's used in Deuteronomy 29, verse 9, which is prosper in all you do, and many other places. Some of the meanings are to be intelligent, to be an expert, skillful, prudent, to be successful, to understand, to be wise. Wonderful things. God wants us to be all those things. Prosper externally. Prosper in your possessions. Prosper in your actions. Prosper in your words. Strong's 6743, which is pronounced Salak. Salak. Psalm 1 verse 3 is one famous place where it is used. That you shall be like a palm planted in a bank, and you shall flourish, and whatever you do shall prosper. Whatever you do shall prosper. The Lord makes it to prosper. Whatever you do, the Lord will make it to prosper. Genesis 39, 23. There are many, many scriptures. Meanings of this word, break out, come out strongly, mightily, go over the challenge, be good, be profitable, be prosperous. All wonderful things that we want to be. In summary, God wants you to prosper internally and externally. Internally and externally. The word from Strong's 21:37 is your oro. Sound like your yodeling. Romans 1:10 is used in having a prosperous journey. 1 Corinthians 16:2, prosper as God has prospered him. 3 John 2, this one we know very well, prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. There's complete prosperity for you. Some of the meanings, succeed in reaching, attaining, succeed in business, have a prosperous journey. So we've been made kings and priests to God, and God wants us to prosper externally, internally, and both. He wants us to prosper in all ways. Prosper coming in, prosper going out. Prosper in what you say and what you do. Prosperity in life. Three main things here. Prosperity in life. You want to make your election sure. You want to never fail. And you want to ensure that the evil one never touches you. So the scripture is saying, make your election sure. Why is that? A lot of reasons. But that tells you that our election and calling may not be sure. There is a sin unto death. Bible says don't pray for it. You know that people can give up their salvation. You know that any believer who takes the mark of the beast and worship the beast, their election is no longer sure. And there are other examples. So make your election sure. 2 Peter 1:2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So grace and peace are multiplied. God is the multiplier. What you got to do is do something. Anything times zero is zero. You must do something. According as his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He has given us everything. It comes to us through grace. But the grace and peace are multiplied through knowledge. It's your part to get the knowledge. No knowledge, no grace. No grace, then you're stuck with the challenges and you don't have that which is going to break you loose of the problems in your life. But that's not true of ABC. We all are seeking more knowledge of God's word. We're all sold out to God. We're all getting set free. So all things that pertain to life and godliness have been given to us through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Again, through the knowledge. We all get set free through the knowledge. That's why the scriptures say, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. That's the flip side. For lack of knowledge, they perish. This is the positive side, the two-edged sword. Here is a two-edged sword saying, here's all the wonderful things that happen to you if you pursue the knowledge. If you don't pursue it, the flip side, you'll perish. Go ye, Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world, Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. You hear the gospel, that's knowledge. You accept it, believe it, you're saved. You hear it and you reject it, they're damned. They perish for lack of knowledge. Lack of rejecting the knowledge that was given to them. Verse 4. Whereby, remember, you accept the knowledge, you get more grace. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Imagine that. God has given to you exceeding great and precious promises. How awesome. What company could do that for you? What kind of business that you could have that would give you exceeding great and precious promises? Give you a lot of money, give you fame, give you fun for a while, but they're not exceeding great and precious. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. We're children of God. He wants us to partake of the divine nature of his family. We're children of God. But to do that, you have to pursue knowledge and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust is a driving desire to have something that's in the world. Carnality, not necessarily sex. Verse 8, for these things be in you. So it's telling you how to manifest these things, okay? So if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So it's listing here between verses 4 and 8, number of godly attributes and parts of the fruit of the Spirit, that if you do them and live them, you should not be lacking and you should not be barren. You should not be unfruitful. But he that doesn't do these things, he that lacks these things, is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know what? Let me read those items. I just want to list them. So it says, verse 4 says, that we may be partakers of his divine nature. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, that we might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, so you add diligence, you want to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust, and you do it diligently, and to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, moderation, self-control, and to temperance, patience, and in patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love, charity. So you do all these things. Verse 10, wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So give diligence to make your calling and election sure, that you never ever make a choice of giving up your salvation, that you're just not a believer who got saved because of fire insurance. You're not just a believer waiting to go to heaven. You are in fact part of the very elect, and a good definition of the very elect is one who has made their calling and their election sure. Make your calling that God has called you to do, make your calling and election sure. For if you do all these things to make your calling and election sure, you shall never fall. You shall never fall. For as you live these things, your discernment, the very elect, grow in discernment to tell the difference between right and wrong, evil and good. We need to grow in that discernment. Not the gift of discernment from the gifts of the Spirit, but the discernment that comes through feeding on strong meat and exercising strong meat, till you grow to that point where, because of the Word of God in you, and because you spend so much time with God, you know what is wrong from the Word of God. That will not happen without a lot of time spending in the Word of God. And we surely are going to give you practice in the school of prosperity. Number two, you never fail. Number two, you never fail. Isaiah 40:26. Lift up your eyes and high, and behold who has created these things that bring out their host by number. He called them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he's strong in power, because he's strong in power, not one fails. God, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19, in the Amplified Bible, God is your strength, your personal bravery, and your invincible army. And with that kind of partnership, you can never fail. You'll never fall if you apply yourself, and you never fail when you realize the one who cannot fail dwells in you. And greater is he that lives in you than any challenge coming up on the earth. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never fails. The King James uses the word charity. It's agape love, God's love. Love never fails. For where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall pass away. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God, okay? Whatsoever, whosoever is born of God, overcomes the world. We are created in the family of God. Our elder brother has defeated the enemy and put us in charge. We are ambassadors of heaven. And whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. You don't have to be a giant in faith to overcome the world. All you have to be is in the family of God. For Elijah overcame much in the world, overcame many challenges in the world. And yet Jesus says John the Baptist was greater than all the prophets and the kings. John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom, the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. And so the least in the kingdom is greater than Elijah, because the greater one lives in us. And we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. You cannot have faith and fear. When you build your house, you're going to build a three-story house. You know you got to lay one brick at a time. You can't grab a bunch of bricks and throw them up there and expect all the bricks to fall where they're supposed to go. Or the lumber. One brick at a time. And people say, but it's so much work. Well, what is your career? Whatever your career is, aren't you doing it one step at a time? Don't you spend as many hours as necessary to create that work at the end? Doesn't the mason and the carpenter and the garbage collector and the nuclear scientist and the doctor, don't they all have to do it one step at a time? And as many steps as are necessary? And that's how you create your world. Start by creating your day. Praying about every part of your day, putting it together. And step by step, you create it. Picture you creating your world the same way the architect and the contractors are creating a skyscraper. One step at a time. Starting at the foundation. Number three, the evil one touches you not. The devil, the evil one, should not be able to touch you. He can only touch you because we allow it. We allow it with sin. He is defeated. We have a covenant with God. God is our big brother, if you will. If you went to school, if when you were in grade school, you had a brother who was in college and he went to school with you, nobody in school would pick on you. He is your big brother. Nobody should pick on you. The only way they can touch you is when you open the door and say, come on in. Because you want a little bit of what they're offering. Maybe you don't want the sickness and the disease and the paralysis and so forth. Maybe you don't want all the evil work, but maybe you want just a little bit of telling somebody what's on your mind. I'm going to give you a real piece of my mind. And by giving the person a piece of your mind, you give a piece of yourself to the devil. You leave yourself wide open. What happens? Sickness, disease, challenges. I remember I was ministering to a lady, 8 years ago maybe. And she was new to ABC and she was having a lot of challenges. And so she was challenged financially and challenged in her health. When somebody's challenged financially and in health, it tells you they're not going to church on a regular basis, which she was not until she came to ABC. Let me say it again. That's one of the things we teach in here in school. If you got somebody who's got challenges psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, health, finances, everything, I'll guarantee you, almost 100% of the time, they're not going to church on a regular basis. And they certainly are not being obedient to a pastor. So this lady was new to ABC. And so we'd help her, you know, so her microwave broke. I don't remember the particular items. I know something broke, a couple of things broke, and we bought new ones. Some of them broke, we got somebody to repair it. Lights went out. And after a while, I said, now wait a second here. Every time we fix something, something else breaks. That tells me that you open the door to the enemy. And what I know you're doing is you're walking in unforgiveness. She did not believe that her unforgiveness could cause a refrigerator to break down. But over the period of a month, she became a believer. And she understood that unforgiveness opened the door. It can cause your car to break down. It can cause challenges in any area of your life, including your body. Unforgiveness. And people walking out of unforgiveness, some very clear examples. If you're always doing the I woulda, wish I shoulda, coulda, woulda, the coulda, woulda, shoulda demons, going over what you should have said to the person, almost surely that is unforgiveness. If you're always arguing, almost sure that's going to create strife and unforgiveness. If you always have to be right, and you're always defending your position, that's going to create strife, and it's probably unforgiveness. No, you don't want any of that stuff in your life. You want to walk in love. And so over a period of time, she learned. First thing we did was, the next thing that breaks, we're not going to pay for it. You're going to have to solve the problem with your faith. And she did it, and she did it, and after a while she learned that unforgiveness will cause your appliances to break. She went on to get, I don't know how many, 15, 20 major miracles through ABC. First John 5:16. If any man sees his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask. And he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. You can forgive them their sins, and in forgiving their sins, you are giving them life. But there's a sin unto death. This is not physical death. This is spiritual death. There's a sin where you lose your salvation. You give up your salvation. You can't lose it. You choose to give it up. Assuming you meet certain conditions, you can give up your salvation. Most people cannot give up their salvation. Most people are in the position of once saved, always saved, because they've never fed on enough strong meat to meet the conditions to be mature enough to give up their salvation. So it's a good thing that they can't lose it, they can't give it up, but it's a bad thing that they're not mature enough to reach that level. You know, if you are a mountain climber and you climb a molehill and you fall, you don't get very hurt. But if you're a mountain climber and you climb Mount Everest and you fall, you could die. But who's more famous? The guy who climbs the molehill in his backyard a bunch of times and has never fallen? Or the one who's climbed Mount Everest once? As we mature, we actually come to the point where we meet the conditions of being able to give up our salvation, losing our salvation. Don't do it. Don't send the sin unto death. The great example is, don't take the mark of the beast and worship the beast for anything. So there's a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it, because if the person has sinned that sin, there is no hope for them. Praying for them is wasting your breath. Verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Well, most sins are not unto death. There's a class of sin that's not unto death. 1 John 5:18. All that to reach verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God does not sin. Whosoever is born of God does not sin. Your spirit is born of God, there's no sin in your spirit. But God wants you to take that righteousness out of your spirit and work it through your members. And as you chase God, Deuteronomy 28:1-2 says the blessings have been commanded to chase you down. You want to get rich in finances and rich in money? Don't let that be your goal. Let your goal be chasing God, and the wealth and the riches will chase you down. The wealth and the riches will chase you down. We know that whosoever is born of God does not sin, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself. So there is no sin in your spirit, but you keep yourself, you guard your heart with all diligence. You renew your mind to the Word of God so that that righteousness becomes holiness in your entire being, and God can flood your entire being. And that's the way, that's the best way for healing to come. That is the way healing comes. It's just that sometimes we're not focused on it. When you're doing affirmations, a major part is using the sword of the Spirit to drive back the enemy. Somebody needs to hear that again. When you're doing affirmations, a major part, the focus is on driving back the enemy. It's a sword of the Spirit. But the word of God is a two-edged sword. One edge is driving back the other. One edge is driving back the enemy. The other edge is softening your heart and changing you from the inside out. So all the glory and the anointing of God in your spirit comes out to your heart and starts changing your body. And that's the best way to get your healing. Eventually, that is the only way. It has to come out of the inside of you, eventually, as you mature. As we keep ourselves, guard our heart, guard our mind, guard our tongue, and let God change us from the inside out. So the glory of God flows throughout us. The glory flows throughout us, and whatever we need comes to us. I remember one ABC-er wanted a vacation, and she just felt like joining a gym. She went and joined the gym, and I think they were having a contest, and she must have joined on the second to last day of the contest, or the last day, and they gave her a ticket, a free ticket for joining, if I recall correctly, and she won a trip to Hawaii. Isn't that cool? I think that's very, very cool. So, as you chase God and do godly things, the blessings will pop in from all over. And that's what prosperity is all about. Doing it God's way. Trust God with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, because most people do the thought that is dominant in their minds. And the dominant thought is almost always, certainly frequently, coming from the devil. The devil is the one that shouts and hollers. But in your heart is that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. So trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He'll direct your path. You chase Him, and the blessing will chase you down. We can better our lives, better our families, and better the world. If we just continue to focus on purity, let the righteousness flow out into our members as holiness. Humility. Acknowledge God in all your ways. Diligence. Add that entire list of steps in 2 Peter chapter 1 to move towards God, so you never fall and you never fail and the evil one cannot touch you. In Jesus' name, amen.